Well, 14 years ago, on the 17th of May, 17 people gathered at the Pomodzi Hotel, and Miracle Life was birthed. Pastor David Newberry and his wife Cheryl had been on this continent for a couple of decades in South Africa and then in Zimbabwe. They moved to Zambia in 1994, and actually that was the year we met them when we were living in South Africa. And they had a whole background of evangelistic ministry, crusades, and yet God spoke to their heart that Miracle Life should be born. And it was interesting that while I never visited Miracle Life or saw Miracle Life, I heard about it from a distance. And when I would see the Newberries, they were like, you know, proud parents. They would always show you the pictures of their babies. And I've got a friend who just had a son, and I think this is going to be the most documented baby in the history of mankind. And 3-4 times a day they have uploaded pictures on Facebook. And so, you know, it's like, well, good, he just got another thing of hair. But the Newberries were like that, and they were like, oh, it's so wonderful, things are happening at Miracle Life, and this is happening, this. So we got to hear about this church, and then began to visit. In about the year 2000, we would come about once a year to visit and speak at church. But God did a supernatural thing to start this church. This church was not started by the wisdom or plan of man, but the plan of God. We exist because God supernaturally gave birth to this church. Now, lots and lots and lots of people sacrificed and gave and served. I remember going through some photos of when we were at the old church and the Oasis building there. Even getting to that building was a miracle. Some of you may know the story when I said that Pastor Newberry, when the church was at Mulungushi, and it just wasn't feasible to be there long enough, and he really felt like God said it, we're supposed to be in the Oasis, and it had been a restaurant, a bar, a casino, and then it was nothing for a while. It was just vacant. And so Pastor Newberry went and saw the owner, and he went time and time again. He had a relentlessness about him. Amen. I think when he laid hands on me, I got a little bit of that. But in life, you just have to stick with it. And so he would go back and back again and said, no, we want to rent the building. No, no, no. And he said, finally, there was one time he said, the Spirit of God just came upon me. And I stood up and I said, sir, we're going to be in that building, and I'm not going to call you. You're going to call me. And within a year, sure enough, that guy called Pastor Newberry and said, we want you in that building. And so we were there. As we look back at the history of you know, getting here, we looked and looked and looked for land across this city for a year and a half. We looked everywhere, knocked on every door. We put ads in the paper, please sell us your land. And nothing came up. And then someone knocked on our door. We would like you to move here. And we bought these 20 acres for $150,000. That's a good deal, isn't it? Well, we're here because of the hand of God, the miracle of God. And just like the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt with a strong hand, the Bible said. They walked on dry ground. And I'm glad, so glad that when this church was founded, they put the name Miracle in Miracle Life Family Church. Because we are a testimony to God's miracles. And guess what? We're going to need a whole lot more to go where we need to go. Now, last week, we showed you some kind of a visual of God's plan for our life, but also, I believe, God's plan for a church. And if you guys could throw that up. And it's this design that there's a growth process that happens in our life. Life is a journey. We go from one place to another place. And so we come to Christ, we come to the cross, and we cross a line of faith, and the Bible says we are born again. It was an event that took place. Regeneration. The old became new. But that's not the end of it. It's the beginning. God started a good work in it, and He will complete it. We've used this Greek word teleos, and that's what that word is. It means to bring to maturity. And so we begin to grow and grow and become more and more like Jesus until we become mature. Christ is formed in us. We are grown up. This was one of the passions that Paul had in his life and his ministry. And now there's evidences that our life is like that. There's incredible love that we have for one another. We begin to bear fruit, and that is that life is not just about us getting blessed and blessed. Thank God for blessings. But now we become a blessing, and we become obedient to Jesus. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, teaching them, that is these disciples, to obey everything that I commanded you. And so we become obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this whole thing, this whole process is called discipleship. All right? It starts with people, us, and then us helping others come to faith in Jesus, but then we grow into maturity. Now, what we submitted to you last week was that orange and yellow arrow, that is the church. That's what a church does. And so everything that we do has to be found in that arrow. Okay, there's a purpose. There's a reason behind it. And church is one of those places that if we're not careful, we do things just to do them, and we don't really know why we're doing them. Sometimes we just, well, you know, and the church down the road is doing them. Well, that's good, but is it in the arrow? And so as a church, as Miracle Life, we are committed to having our activities as a church, but then also individually in that. All right? So as we put these things together, all right, and as these activities are in our lives, the end result is that thousands and thousands of believers will come into maturity, Christ-likeness, grown-upness. All right, let's look at a verse. You guys can leave that up there, but Colossians chapter 1, we've seen this a number of times. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul had this wonderful relationship with the church in Colossae. All right, so they had started, but it wasn't yet finished. And Paul, he let them in on what his goal was. Colossians 1, actually, let's start reading in verse 28. Him, speaking of Christ, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor. All right, so you notice there was an end, right? What's the end? It's that big guy over on the right-hand side of the screen. It's the end of the arrow. It's the maturity. Paul says, this is the end to which I strive according to his working, which works in me mightily. All right, now, one of the things as we go forward as a church is that it is very, very easy to get distracted in what we do and what we become as a church. Because there are, in our day and age, there's so many awesome things that are happening around our world. So many great churches doing so many different things. But how many of you know you've got to do what God asks you to do, right? And you've got to do it the way he asks you to do it. And we can't be another church because we're not that church. Now, thankfully, we can learn. And there are people that have gone on before us, and they've made some mistakes. And we can learn from them and learn some incredible principles. But in that arrow, what we as a church need to make a commitment is that we will only do what's in that arrow. Nothing more, but also nothing less. So this becomes a filter for decision making. All right, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Well, is it helping reach people for Jesus, and is it helping them to grow up in Christ and to become and to fulfill the destiny that God has for them? So our activities are found in that orange and yellow arrow. Now, the other thing is it also gives us a measure of how are we doing? Okay, because if we use the wrong measure, we'll get the wrong results. And in our board meeting yesterday, when we were the finance committee, the head of that was presenting how we're doing on our budget and everything. And thankfully, you know, we're, as I mentioned, we're over on revenue, we're under on expenses. But I reminded the board, I said, but you understand, this isn't the business of the church. The business of the church is not just to be over revenue and under expenses. The business is to do something. This is what we do. This is the business. And so, you know, a profit-making business, yes, what is the goal? It's to make profit, all right? That it's creating jobs, it's making a difference, it's paying you something, all right? But the goal of the church is not to make money or to have money left over. No, we want to, that's just a means to an end. What's the end? It's what God says the end is that we become like Jesus and help other people get there. Now, where are we right now as a church? All right. After 14 years, and again, there's incredible, incredible things have happened. And we've reached a lot of folks, lots of different types of folks. And one of the key distinctions of Miracle Life is that we are a diverse church. All right. From all over this nation, from all over the world. We have people that are old. We have people that are young. We have people that are employed, people that are not. Kind of that poem we heard about moms today. Moms that are educated, moms that are not. Moms that are home, moms that are divorced, moms that are widowed. In that poem, we have all those kinds of moms at Miracle Life and those kinds of dads. And so God has done an incredible thing that we would reach people like that. This church has, for whatever reason, but I believe by calling and also that we've figured out a couple things, is we really reach a lot of kids. Young people. We'll have 600 kids behind us this week. Some of, obviously, your children, other children that come. This morning, there was a little boy. I usually see him every Sunday. He's one of our ushers' children. And so he was waiting to see me today. And I said, now, how was today? He said, oh, it was good. I said, well, what did you learn in church today, you know, back here? And he said, we learned how to overcome bempitation. And I thought, and I couldn't understand. I was like, bempitation. And I thought, you know, I've studied the Bible on purpose. You know, it's my job, but I've never heard of bempitation. I said, well, what is bempitation? He says, it's when the devil tries to get you to do something wrong and you say no. Oh, temptation. Right? I said, that is awesome. Well, you know what? There are five-year-old kids right now learning how to overcome bempitation. And yesterday, at Youth Impact Youth, 15-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids learning how to overcome bempitation. God has really helped us as a church to reach young people. And it's a big thing of what we do. And many, many of these young people, they come on their own. They come without their parents. And it is a regular testimony here of either a child or a youth or a young adult that they begin to come here and then their families follow. Many, many times as Pastor William and I, mostly him, are working with young people that are about to get married, and it seems like almost every Sunday we're announcing someone. But many, many times as we interact with these parents at the wedding or leading up to that, they say, thank you for what you've done for my child. Oh, I see a difference in their life. And then every now and then they'll tell us, I think I'm going to come and check out Miracle Life. All right? But this is part of what God has asked us to be. And so, obviously, we at Miracle Life, we strive for excellence. Not because we're trying to make money or be better than the church down the road. Because God is excellent. Amen. Excellence shows value to people. It shows that we care. That you're worth us singing the song right. You're worth having a chair that doesn't break. You're worth having a place where you can park your car, even if it takes a while to leave. All right? And so we're a church about that. We're a church where the Bible is proclaimed, where the Word of God goes forth. We're a church that strives to be organized, and it's not always easy to keep 3,000 people organized and a staff and everything, but we attempt to do that. To have efficiency and a place where love is shown at every level, that people are valued and that lives are changed. And so as we look back, we have to be thankful that just as the children of Israel were reminded by God, He brought you out of Egypt. He brought you out. You walked on dry land. And so as a church and as people, we need to realize God has been with us. This is a miracle that we are where we are today. The statistics are staggering that, what is it? I think about 60 to 70% of pastors quit the ministry. Churches that start and then fail, all right, that just simply don't make it. And the fact that we're just here, that we're alive, all right, we might not be perfect, but at least we made it. It's a testimony to God's faithfulness. Amen? Now, we also need to be honest to say, where else are we? All right, so there's been some awesome things happening, but realistically, where are we? All right? And Miracle Life, for a number of reasons, we don't have a good back door. There are people that come, and I don't think we grab them quick enough or strong enough to help them grow up in Jesus. So we have people that come, people that go. One on our discipleship team that's doing this strategic planning, one of the young men we were meeting this week, and he said, I just feel like too many people treat Jesus like a hobby. You know, something that you do on the side. And I thought, that's a good way of describing it. And for some, that is the case. Some of the things that we've discovered as we're going through this planning process is right now at Miracle Life, 10% of our church body serves in some capacity. 10% are in connection groups. All right. And so those that are, man, their lives are getting transformed. Man, things are happening. But you know what? That is a bad number. 10% is too low. Because God created us to be His workmanship. God created us to be connected to one another. Now, there are a variety of reasons why that's happening. But here's the thing. That has to change. Amen. That has to change. That's got to come up higher. And so some of these groups and as a staff, we've got some pretty heavenly goals that's going to take the power of God and some great wisdom to bring these up different. All right? There's a huge percentage, we don't know exactly what it is, but a huge percent of the church doesn't give financially. All right, so we're in a sense, we're going down the highway to the copper belt and we're in third gear. We're moving, but we're not moving as fast as we should. We are where we are today based on the faithfulness and the love and the care of a few, not the majority. Some are just along for the ride. Okay, many have gotten stuck in their growth and maturity. When it comes to serving, sometimes when people will be planning an activity or something like that, and maybe they need 30 volunteers or something like that, and they say, "Well, praise the Lord, we got 32 volunteers. It looks like we're going to be okay." And I just tell them, "I'm sorry, but I need to remind you, there's a ratio. If 32 people signed up, 16 people are going to come. That's not a bad confession. That's reality." That's what happens at Miracle Life. Pastor William, am I lying? I'm not lying, okay? You know what? That percentage needs to come up. Amen? Because what does the Bible say? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's okay to say no, but just keep it as a no. But if you're going to say yes, it's got to stay a yes. All right? As we work with people, and obviously, we don't know these things just from a Sunday morning activity. But as we get involved in the lives of people, in counseling and different things, there are some fairly significant signs of maturity, of immaturity in folks. All right. Now, immaturity in a three-year-old is to be expected, right? And in fact, it's not a surprising thing to see someone who's new in the Lord not fully matured because it takes time. All right. But what's disturbing is when you see signs of immaturity in a 35-year-old. Okay. People who have been with the Lord for a significant amount of time, and yet there is some significant maturity in their lives, and it is not realized. Sometimes it's denied. All right. And it's clear from Scripture, this is not okay. God's calling you to a higher place. All right. Ephesians chapter 4 gave a description of a child, and it says that we would no longer be like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that's happening, I think, in too many places at Miracle Life, that people will just swallow anything that they hear from Christian TV or a book or a testimony, like a little baby bird that whatever the mom puts in the mouth, they're going to swallow. Well, that's not what the Bible asks us to do. We've got to be wise. We've got to be discerning. We've got to know the Word of God for ourselves, amen? Not just what someone else tells us. One of the things that when we were doing the strategic planning, the consultant said this, and oh, it really convicted me. He said, most churches have an ability to attract leaders, but very few churches develop leaders, grow leaders. And that's something I realize that we've neglected and we haven't done, and we haven't done it purposefully. Folks, guess what? That needs to change. We can't stay where we are now. There's an arrow. Now, as much as we're moving down that arrow, the arrow is moving too. We're moving towards God's plans and purposes. Now, what we want to do is we want to be able to articulate what we are to do in a clearer way. And those of you that have been in the business world, you understand that an organization should have a mission statement. All right? It's not about the future. It's not the vision. It's not where we're going. It's what do we do? We feed the nation. We build cars, right? We provide housing, all right? There's a verb, there's action in it that tells you what you do. But the other thing that's good about a mission statement is it tells you what you don't do, all right? And so if we build cars, then that means we don't make cheese, right? It tells us what to do, tells us what not to do. It also tells us, are we hitting the target? All right? And as we've been seeing this from Scripture so clearly, and so we want to rearticulate the mission of Miracle Life Family Church in a better way. And we've had connecting people with the love of God, and I don't think that's bad. I think it's incomplete. I think it doesn't give us the full picture of what we should be doing and the business of the church. And so as we've been praying and working, and a number of people kind of contributed, took about maybe an hour or two after we talked and chatted, but we really centered on something that we just felt, this seems right. This seems to just say what we are to be doing from the Scripture. All right, so if you guys can throw that up, the next slide. So what is the mission of Miracle Life Family Church? We share Christ. We mature believers, and we are changing the world. Sharing Christ, maturing believers, changing the world. Now, just to kind of say a little bit about that. Sharing Christ. Well, to whom do we share Christ? Who's our audience? Everybody. In Colossians 1:28, you remember Paul said, he said, I warn every man, I teach every man, that I might present every man. Everybody say every. So who do we share Christ with? Everybody. You know, sometimes as a church goes through these processes of really saying, what do we need to do? Where do we need to go? Sometimes one of the big deals that people talk about, are we going to be more of an internal church, working on us, allowing God to transform us? Or are we going to make a concerted effort to reach outside of our church? Well, here's what Scripture says. It's not either or. It's and. We are going to reach in, and God is going to transform our lives by sharing Christ to one another. And we are going to reach out like never, ever, ever before. We want the world around us to feel the love of God. We want them to know Jesus showed up when someone from Miracle Life showed up. We want to share Christ with everyone. Now, that's a part of the mission. Another part of the mission is what we saw here and throughout Scripture, is that we mature believers. We are maturing believers. We're helping them to grow up. Now, here's the thing. We do that. We let God do that to us. So we are growing. But then the other thing is that we help other people to grow. We help other people to grow. I'll just give you a real quick example. Something we've noticed the last couple of weeks is that on a Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, this church is far too messy than it should be. There are wrappers, there's food, there's stuff all over the place. All right, now, I know that's none of you, right? It's those kids back here, right? I hope it's not you. But here's how we mature a believer, all right? If we see a little kid with a packet of crisps and he drops the wrapper or something, he takes a sweet and he throws it on the ground, is you just come alongside of him and you don't beat him up, you know? You don't report him to security, but you say, hey, Johnny, you know what? There's a dustbin. This is Jesus' church. This land is really important to Jesus. This belongs to Him. And we need to, we're a family. And why don't we take care of what God gave us? And so here, why don't you take this crisp wrapper and let's walk over here to the dustbin. You open it up for them, put them in there, and then pat them on the back, give them a high five. What did you just do? You matured a believer. You matured a believer. Maybe you've got friends at Miracle Life and maybe they're going through a problem or a struggle or you don't see them or they're not around and you call them up. You say, hey, how you doing? I just want to reach out. I want to love you. Maybe you have a conversation about Scripture. You join a connection group and you share your heart. What are you doing? You're helping someone else to grow. So here's the thing. This mission statement is not a mission statement for the pastors. It's a mission statement for all of us. What do? We share Christ. We mature believers. And as a result of those two things happening, we're changing the world around us. Amen. This upside down world, we're helping to make it, parts of it, right. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I've got a mission. Tell your other neighbor, it's a heavenly mission. Amen. Tell somebody, find somebody around you again, say, I've got a job description. Amen. Now, here, let's have a little quiz here. All right, turn off that. Okay. All right. Don't look at your neighbor's notes or anything, but I want to ask you today, do you have a mission?
Yes.
What is it? Okay, that was good. There was a little bit of, I saw one of our staff members today at the added church. I said, hey, you got a mission? He said, yeah. There was somebody else next to him. He says, we're sharing Christ, maturing believers. And the person next to him said, changing the world. Amen. Do you have a mission?
Yeah.
What is it? Amen. Give your neighbor a high five. Give him a high five. So, now, I really hope that you hear that this is not, 30 people from our church that read a book and saying, okay, now, Miracle Life, we are now in the sausage-making business. What I really believe is we've done this, okay? We've shared Christ. We've matured believers. We are changing the world. But I don't think we've been as focused as we could be. I don't think it's been as intentional as it could be. I don't think it's a matter of saying, you know what? This is the bottom line. This is the way we measure success. This is the way we realize, you know what? If that's not happening, then we need to tweak something. We need to adjust. All right. Now, when we went through this, sharing Christ, maturing believers, changing the world, someone on a team that's been at our church for so many, many years, Mrs. Chitundu, and so as this was changing, she said something and she really verbalized something that was in my heart at the same time. And she was like, what about connecting people with love? You know, we've got a whole song on it and everything, you know. What about connecting? Well, here's the thing. Here's what I believe is that one of the signs of a mature believer, one of the things that people notice about a mature believer is they are loving. They are full of love. So if we get this right and God helps us, guess what? There's going to be more love than we've ever seen before. there's going to be a love tsunami. Because if we're only a third of the way down that arrow of maturity in Christ, it means we've got a little bit of love, a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of kindness, a little bit of resentment. It's not flowing as much as God wants. So we will connect people with the love of God as we get this right more than ever before. Now, we want to be more strategic, more intentional, more purposeful about doing what God wants. And again, I really, really believe God has helped us to focus, to see from Scripture, to hear from the Holy Spirit, that this is what Miracle Life is to be about. Now, what we want to show you today is, if you can get that video ready, and just signal me when it's ready, is we've took a few testimonies from our church of where this has happened to people. People where Christ has been shared to them. People who grew, and people who, out of as a result of this, who are changing the world that they live in. And these testimonies, what we believe is that as we do that arrow and as we do our mission, these testimonies will just become all over the place. They'll be regular. They will be the normal part of being a part of Miracle Life Family Church. We're good to go? All right, so I want you to look at this video, and I want you to hear these testimonies that will, again, what I believe is that this is not something new. It's something that's going to be more focused. It's going to be something that's going to be more prevalent than ever before. Thanks, guys.
From its inception, back in May of 1997, Miracle Life Family Church has been an international church in Osaka, which is reaching and touching the lives of many.
About 2.5 years now that I've stopped drinking, committed myself to the Lord. I'm now an usher at church. You know, I can see the light in my life. There's nothing that we can do in our own strength. The only person who can change us is Jesus. I thank the Lord for Miracle Life, because without the church, I wouldn't be where I am today. Most probably I would be dead by now or divorced. I just thank God.
Miracle Life Family Church has grown in membership over the years. The spiritual growth of believers is key to supporting and sustaining this growth. Through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and through various ministries targeting the kids, youth, young adults, women, and men, the church strives to see their lives and spiritual walk mature to be Christ-like.
Miracle Life Family Church changed the perspective of which I saw Christianity. I had this picture that God was this big giant who was just out to judge me. So having that mindset, I always found myself living with this guilt. I've learned to apply God's word. Applying and listening to God's word are two different things.
The maturity of believers is cardinal in awakening them to the reality that they are the light and the salt of this world. As believers mature to be Christ-like, they will impact and influence their immediate environment and the rest of the world.
I've come to understand the value of self-leadership, and with that self-leadership, I'm able to lead myself well. With excellence, and I heard someone say that excellence always inspires people. And so I've been able to inspire my family in terms of leadership, doing things really well, not doing things half-heartedly, but doing things with excellence. And I've seen a lot of change in that.
The days ahead are bright for Miracle Life Family Church, as God continues to work in the hearts of those yielded to Him. This church realizes that God raised them up for such a time as this, and will continue to give their lives to see His will and plan fulfilled. Miracle Life Family Church, sharing Christ, maturing believers, changing the world.
All right. Ask your neighbor, do you have a mission? What is it? Amen, amen. We're getting there. Now, one of the things that is a part of this process in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said this. He said, to this end, all right, to this goal, he said, I labor. I labor. And here's it's just a newsflash. This is not going to happen without effort. This is not going to happen as we sit back and watch videos. Nice. We come to the choice. Ooh, wonderful. That was a good move. Very good. No, there were some people that worked to make that happen. All right. And thank God for the work that happened. But it's going to take you and I all in our place. We work together. We all carry the burden together. All right. Of getting, helping people to come to this grown-upness in Christ, doing our part. It means all of us buying into the God process. What is it? That we allow God to mold, to shape, to transform our life in a purposeful and an intentional way. All right? That it doesn't happen by accident, but we say, Lord, work in my life. And then to let him, to engage him through word, through the study of scriptures, through interaction with other people, getting involved in a small group, to praying, all that is serving, giving, loving. And as these things happen in our life, something happens in us. But then the other thing is that this church for you and I, it's not just about us. It's not just about us. It is helping this process happen for someone else. And here's the thing. You don't have to have a PhD in Christian maturity to help somebody else grow. You don't. There is someone that you can help. There is someone that will grow with you. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. It's about when God is doing this in our life, is that we reach out, we reach back, and we help someone else be involved in this process. Jesus was calling his disciples, and there was someone who had been under the ministry of John the Baptist named Andrew, and so Jesus called him to be a disciple. And in John chapter 1, verse 39, he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Look at verse 42. And this is Andrew making this happen for his brother, Simon Peter. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Now, how many of you know Andrew had not yet gone through the New Believers class? Andrew had not listened to the 16 CD set of the values and vision of Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus, and he reached out to somebody that he loved and said, you know what, I need you to come with me to Jesus. It was amazing when Jesus called Matthew to be his disciple. What happened that night? The Bible says that Jesus sat down and he ate with Matthew, and many tax collectors came and ate with Jesus. Where did they get the invitation? From Matthew. Matthew reached back into his tax collector friends and said, boy, this is a rabbi you will not believe. You have got to come over for dinner tonight. What are you eating? Well, that's not really the key. You just got to come and meet this guy, Jesus. He is amazing. That's our job. That's what we do. We share Christ. We introduce other people to Him. Now, we do that verbally, but we also do it with our lifestyle, with who we are. Amen? We share Christ, we mature believers, and as a result of that, we will change the world. Now, here's the challenge that I want to leave you with today, is that you don't go to a church that does that, and that is going to be doing that more and more and more, and become an expert in sharing Christ, maturing believers, changing the world. You just don't go to a church that does that. You do that. You do that. You do that. Because sometimes, I know we've all said this, but sometimes when somebody says, well, where do you go to church? Well, I go to Bishop so-and-so's church. Oh, okay, then we understand, oh, that's that church. Well, this, first of all, it's Jesus' church, Miracle Life. He purchased it with His own blood. But this is our church. It's what we do together to make a difference. And so in the days, the weeks, the months that are going to come, as the results of these strategic planning sessions happen and as people are getting aligned and things, but I really believe over the next 12 months, there is going to be, you're going to see it bit by bit, but it's, you're going to see the activities of this church getting in line with that arrow. And then you're going to be invited to join the process like never before. We need you. But it's not just that we need you. The world needs you. God needs you. Amen. And so wherever we are on this journey, we can help somebody else with their journey. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet today? Why don't you stand to your feet? Worship team, if you'd come. That song that we sang or at the offertory, and I know it's a new song, but I'd encourage you, we're going to throw the words up on the screen, and just follow along, and let's verbalize, let's confess what we are as a church, of a church that is showing the world what mercy is like. When Jesus came to the earth, it says that when they saw Jesus, He was full of grace and truth. And so the world can see grace and truth in us, and we can be what God has called us to be. So let's just sing along and make this a commitment of who we are going to be as a church for years and years to come.
We are the change. The world is waiting, for we've got a love. The world is desperate, for we will lead. Take to your streets. Now's the time, us to rise. Carry hope and let light shine. And show this world the mercy. Oh,
Said this one time. He said that the world is pretty much better than the church at almost everything. Passing out food, building roads, building schools, hospitals. But there is one thing that the world cannot do that we can, and we better do it. And that is give the grace of God to a hurting world. We can't expect government to do that. It's not in their mandate. It is in ours. So let's be about the Father's business. Now, grab somebody by the hand right now, because as we look at this, this is a big job. It's important. But the other thing that I hope you realize is that you cannot do this on your own. We will never accomplish this in our own strength. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. But He is. And when Paul said, he said, I labor, he said, I realize that the power of God is working in me. And as we make a commitment to do this as a church, we will activate the power of God. We will activate the wisdom of God. He will help us to do what He wants us to do like never, ever before in the history of this church. Amen. So let's pray. And I want you to pray about two things. God, help us as a church. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us insight. Lord, give us the timing, the resources, the finances, the people, Lord, to make this happen. But then secondly, Lord, let me do this. I am going to carry this. I am going to be the one who shares Christ. I'm going to be the one that matures believers. I'm going to be the one that changes this world. So let's pray along those lines today, and let's just pray together as a church family. Father, we thank you so much for a new day. Lord, for a change, a call to come up higher, a call to do that which you've asked us to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you today and we ask for your help. We ask for your grace. Lord, we do not in our own strength have what it takes to accomplish this. We don't, Lord. We don't, but you do. And so we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your power. Lord, we ask you that you will place people at every level of this church, Lord, equipped, anointed, empowered by you to do what you've asked us to do. Lord, help us as a church. But Lord, we also ask you, use me. Father, this is not one person's job. This is not 10 people. This is not 100 people. This job belongs to 3,000 people, from the youngest of the children to the oldest of the old, from, Father, those who have just started in this journey to those who've been walking with you for 35 years. Father, use us. We yield ourselves to you. We bring our bodies as a living sacrifice. We'll do what you ask us to do. We'll go where you ask us to go. We'll give what you ask us to give. Oh, Father, we thank you for a little surge of your Spirit empowering us and equipping us and placing us. Father, give us strategies, wisdom. Father, as different teams are meeting, as staff is talking, Lord, as boards are meeting, Lord, help us. Help us. We are dependent upon you, Jesus. Oh, you are the head of this church. You are the great shepherd of our souls. Oh, that we are bought by you, equipped by you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this. We expect to see this in our midst. We expect to see this in our lives like never before. Father, thank you for the great, great, bright, and marvelous days that are ahead of Miracle Life Family Church. Lord, we bless you. And Father, what a privilege it is that we know that you've brought us into the kingdom for such a time as this. To see lives changed, to see families transformed, to see an entire nation transformed, truly changed by the power of God and the Word of God that will prevail in Lusaka and in this nation, and it will spill over to the nations that surround us. Father, thank you that you're starting with us, and it's happening. It's happening. The fuse has been lit. And Father, we thank you for explosions of love, of maturity, of grace, of empowerment all over the place, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just with every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here in this place, there is a journey that God has for you. It's a good plan. Oh, and he's a faithful Father. The Bible speaks of Jesus that he is the good shepherd. And he knows where you need to go. But here's the thing. In order for him to be your shepherd, you have to submit to him. You have to say, Jesus, I give you my life. I will follow you. Be my Lord. Be my master. And whatever you say is now the new final authority of my life. Jesus told a very religious man, someone who was doing his best to serve God. He said, sir, you must be born again. There has to be a change on the inside. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's not a matter of dedication. It's a matter of giving your life to the Savior, the one who died for you. Now, he purchased you 2,000 years ago. He paid a price. And now he can be your Savior. But here's the thing. He will not take you on this journey kicking and screaming. He will not force himself. He's not that kind of a person. He allows people to accept him. And right now, he is calling you. Not a pastor. He, Jesus Christ. Just as he called disciples, he's calling you by name. Follow me. Follow me. And I will make you. I will transform you. I will give you a different destination. If you're here today and you say, I've never started that journey. I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior, but I'm ready to. I want to. I want to follow him. He's ready to receive you. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian, a Christian with rebellion and sin in your life, but you know you need to come home. You need to come home to your Father. If you're ready to make that decision today, I assure you from Scriptures, God is ready to receive you. He's ready to cleanse you. He's ready to make you into a brand new person. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me, and today is my day. This is the day I start my journey. This is the day I come back to God to follow Jesus. If that's you, simply raise up your hand. Raise it up real, real high. Say, I am choosing Jesus. I am going to make him the Lord and the Savior of my life. No turning back. I'm following him today. Anybody in this auditorium, your life is important to God. Don't let this opportunity slip from your hands. This is your day to make a decision. Your day to make a decision. I just feel very compelled. Yes, God bless you there in the back. Anyone else? I just feel compelled. God is dealing with hearts right now. Yes, over here. Who else will join these and say, you know what? Yes, God bless you over here. Today is your day. Today is your day. It's the time that things change. Anyone else before we pray? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. Give him my heart and my life. All right. Those of you that lifted up your hands, what I'd ask you to do is just gather your belongings. You may have come with a Bible or a handbag. Whatever you brought with you, come and bring it and meet me up front. We want to pray together. And God is going to start something in your life that will never end until you get to heaven. But today is the day to make that decision. So just step out of your chair, step out of your old life, and come to Jesus right now. Amen. Let's give these folks a big hand as they're coming. Stepping out, saying yes to God, saying yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Yeah, just let them know. This just lets them know that we love them, that we're supporting them. They're not alone. Amen. God bless you, young lady. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. I believe that someone's coming. All right, we'll wait. That's the beauty of second service, right? Nothing else to do right now? Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. Well, I believe this will be a Mother's Day to remember. Amen. All right, if I were going to give you this Bible and it was going to be for free, how would you get it? Right? You would just reach out and receive it because there's no cost to you, but you do have to reach out. And so God, the gifts that He has for you, forgiveness, new life, it's free. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. You can't. It's a free gift. But what you do, what is required, is that you receive it. And we do that by faith. We do that by saying yes to Him. All right? And so right now, I want to lead you in a prayer that will make that possible in your life, all right? So just close your eyes and then just lift up one of your hands towards heaven and just say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died for me. He died in my place. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I am walking with you now. I turn away from my old life and I follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me, you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.